Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
It is the Roto-World Reunion Mock Draft Show. My name is Matthew Berry. This is Jay Croucher. We are from the Fantasy Football Happy Hour, coming to you from the set, from the bar, right here. And I think reunion, Jay, is appropriate because it's a reunion for me. I started my career at Roto-World.
I heard about that.
1999 to 2004. I was there. And now it is a full circle moment for me. I am coming back. I am reunited with Roto-World. We are bringing Roto-World back. We are bringing it back in a big way. And one of the ways you bring a brand back is you celebrate its past.
Yes.
And there have been so many amazing analysts, hosts, and talent that have sort of come through the doors of RotoWorld.com over the years. And so we thought it'd be a lot of fun. Could we ask our friends, because we're all friends with them. We're friends with all these guys and men and women, if they would mind coming back and mock drafting with us.
Yeah.
And by mock draft, I think I just mean make fun of me. Right. And so that's what we're going to do here. And so, you know, if you want to talk alumnus of RotoWorld, one of the first places you start is Greg Rosenthal.
Yeah.
Greg Rosenthal, our buddy Greg. Greg was the longtime lead analyst for Roto-World, got his start there, and now left, and now he's a big star in NFL. NFL.com does everything, does the Around the NFL podcast, as you can see there in the background. Greg, brother, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It is good to know, like, the Roto-World name is back. And you were there just for a few months, maybe when I got there, but you don't know this. I actually had refused to do any Roto-World programming until they brought the name back. You know, it was very painful for me. No one knows this. No one actually asked me to do anything. But to take like the best,
you're like, if they ever ask, screw them, I'm not doing it.
Like the best brand name in NBC sports history, and it's just out the door. Now it's back, and you're back. It all feels good.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited about it. I literally, when I was in negotiations with NBC, whatever, you have all these demands, and they said no to all of them. You know, I was like, well, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this. I'm like, no. And I literally said, well, fine, give me two things. Number one is I want a guy, whenever I ask for it, to bring me a lobster roll. So I'm asking for it now. Somebody please bring me a lobster roll. And the other thing is I want the Roto-World name back.
Oh, dang. You were responsible for this?
What?
You were responsible for this?
I am responsible for this. This was part of my negotiation of my return to NBC. That was part of the negotiations. I wanted the Roto-World. And by the way,
that's great. I thought it was my sarcastic tweets and texts that I would send to Rick Cordella when it first happened, but it's good.
Well, Cordella did say, like, you know, who Rosie would be on board with this. So, no, listen, to be clear, it was one of those things where it's like I made all these demands and I was just like, I don't want to bring Roto-World back. And they were immediately like, great, we're going to do that. I'm like, oh, crap. I should have. I think they were already planning to do it and I just screwed up, you know?
It's like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer with the coffee that spills on him and he makes the demand of, like, you know, I want all this stuff. Right. And then they say, they come to the negotiation and they're like, we'll give you free coffee. Done.
Right.
Done.
Yeah, 100%. I screwed that up. Not the first trade negotiation that I messed up, but I'm excited to have the Roto-World brand back as well. So we're doing it. Here's what we're doing here. We are doing a 12 team. So a 12 team draft, full PPR. One quarterback, two running back, three wide receivers, two flex, no kickers or defense as well. 16 rounds. We're doing it on Yahoo. And here's who's in the draft. You and I are going to co-draft a team together. Yep. Unfortunately, Greg has his own fantasy extravaganza over there at NFL. So he can't draft. He's gracing us with his presence for a little bit. But listen to this. We got a murderer's row here in terms of alumni. Get this, right? Adam Levitan. Goodness gracious. All right, sorry. I have the Yahoo draft up and all of a sudden. And now Andy Behrens is staring at me.
Lots going on here. Can we get rid of him?
On Yahoo Fantasy. Okay. All right. So here's the alumni that's coming by. Adam Levitan over there at Establish the Run. Josh Norris over at Underdog. Rich Rebar, who's with Warren Sharp. Graham Barfield over at Fantasy Points. Kay Adams. We don't know where Kay's going to be. You know, Kay obviously with Good Morning Football for so long. She left that show. She's with People Magazine, but I believe she's got a sports gig, but I don't think that's been announced yet. Evan Silva, the great Evan Silva, will be joining us. So that's the alumni here. Come on camera. Look what just happened.
Look what happened.
Yeah. You know what this is? Look at what this is.
I thought you got the chicken fingers.
No, I just sold you the lobster roll. It was my one demand.
I guess I shouldn't have left. It took like a decade, but now I regret it.
Yeah, 100%. Anyway, and then, of course, we've got our current Roto-World experts and our team, including you and I, Pat Corain, Kyle Dvorak, Denny Carter, Lawrence Jackson, and my buddy, Patrick Doherty, Roto Pat. Let's bring in Roto Pat here with a minute 32 before the draft. There he is. Pat, I feel like, has one blazer, and he just wears it all the time.
I was hoping you wouldn't remember that, but blazer. I literally have three blazers, and I've worn this one twice in the past week.
Whatever you wore twice last week, Pat? That's what you said?
No, twice in the past week, because I already went through the full rotation. So I'm back to the beginning. So
I mean, you don't have to, though. Like, I'm not saying Barry's your boss here, but he's definitely above you on the pecking order. He's wearing like a T-shirt. I think that gives you
this is my blazer is my armor. I've never had a bad draft. I've never made a bad quip on a podcast. So
it's in a blazer. Hope springs eternal. All right, so we have the number one pick. So I read it, the draft order is you and I somehow got the number one pick. I don't think that was I don't know if that was planned or not.
We didn't lobby for it, but we got it.
Right, we got it. Who are we thinking here? So we're up at number one. I have Jonathan Taylor at number one. I think he can make an argument for CMC at one as well.
Yep.
I don't think anyone's looking at it. It's weird if it's Cooper Kupp. What do you think?
I kind of want to take Christian McCaffrey because I think that one. Had he had his 2019 season last year, then he's going number one. And look, I think everyone expects Christian McCaffrey to get injured, but his injuries are because all, like, random linemen are falling on his ankles. I'm not sure that's repeatable, but I just can't trust this Carolina situation. I trust Matt Rule. I think we have to take Taylor, right?
A big killer. You know what I really need is a napkin. What I should have demanded in my contract was a guy that would bring me a napkin whenever I wanted.
You have the Diet Coke guy as well. There you go.
Try to Diet Coke.
Let's take Taylor.
I think the argument for Taylor is it's the upside of McCaffrey. Maybe not massive upside, but still has the upside of McCaffrey with a floor that just isn't there with McCaffrey.
Much higher floor. Yep.
Much higher floor. We expect the Colts to be very good under Matt Ryan. Look at all the sauce that I got everywhere. Like, it's a disaster. All right. We're drafting Jonathan Taylor. I need a lot of napkins. It's a very good lobster roll, but it's like it's messy. I have it on my pants. I have it on my phone. Look, I have it on my hand.
Oh, no.
Look, that's lobster sauce. I want to be clear to the internet. That is lobster sauce.
This is like lessons of what not to do during your draft.
Yeah. And by the way, those are lessons I've been given out my entire career, Greg, if anyone's followed my career, of what not to do.
You also asked for the scoring system right before we started. So that's another one on those like basic ones we would write back in 2003 of like, what is fantasy football? Know your scoring system.
Greg, what are your members? And so now we're up to,
me. My plan A, B, and C was to take the first 2,000-yard receiver in NFL history, Justin Jefferson, but I think I have to settle for Cooper Kupp. Justin Jefferson. Greg, by the way, I was thinking it's my boss is still Rick Cordell. Yours is now Roger Goodell. Just take us through the differences between Goodell and Cordella.
Both great. They're both great. His name is on the paycheck, which I was curious, but it truly is if you look it up. This is bringing me back. I can't wait till Silva's on and picking, because I hired Silva back in the day, Roto Pat too. Silva once tried to kind of convince me.
Which one are you more proud of?
You know, they're all my.
When you give your resume out, Craig, in terms of whose career you launched, who are you more proud of? Is it Evan Silva, who, you know, is beloved within the fantasy community and gone into great things? Or is it Roto Pat, who's just here in front of you in a blazer?
They're like children, and I have two children. I know you have even more, Matthew, and you love them all. You secretly have feelings of which you like better, but you would never say them out loud. And some are clearly better looking than others.
1,000%. Oh yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I have them ranked 1 through 5. My wife and I always say we have 5 kids. We have 3 kids too many. It depends on the day which 3. The rankings change all the time.
I want to kill Silva's Dalvin Cook pick. I can't really. He's at 8. But I do remember like spending a lot of my 20s viciously IMing back and forth with Silva about player evaluations basically all summer long. And they would get heated and personal, and he would get mad at me. And that was how I knew he would be a great one, when he cared that much about Ernest Wilford's average draft position.
Yeah, I'd say the Roto World culture has gotten a little less personal over the years. Evan Silva said some unspeakable things over the years. So I'm still not over it.
He's not here to defend himself. No, he's a gentleman.
We'll get him. We'll get him in there. So just to recap our draft here, I'm trying to, you know, I'm just being honest here, right? So I've spent so many years drafting on ESPN. I have never really drafted on Yahoo before. So I'm trying to sort of figure out like how to like look at who's been drafted and what. It's I don't totally understand the interface here. But anyway, just to recap, we took Taylor 1, then McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson went 3, Roto Pat took Cooper Kupp at 4. Jamar Chase goes 5. See it there on your screen. Eckler, Najee Harris, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry. Surprised that, guys, are you surprised Derrick Henry falls that far? I mean, Harris over Cook is sort of interesting to me, and Henry falling that far, Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs as we head towards the end of the first round. But that's, to me, that's the interesting one, is Henry falling that far.
No, I'm basic, and I don't know, understand why Derrick Henry is like a top 10 pick anymore. I would want no part of him. I'd want all of these receivers over all of the running backs taken in the middle, except for Cook. Cook would be my exception, but I feel like they're all way safer. I feel like Derrick Henry could be like legitimately bad. That offensive line is going to be bad, and he could be hurt. Like, there's a decent chance he's never going to be the same guy.
Yeah, but here, yeah.
Craig, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, 100%.
Goodbye, Derrick Henry.
I always like look at the average draft position right before we do our fantasy show, and there's just like names that stand out as like, oh wow, really? And Henry was one of those.
I think the anti Greg Rosenthal argument for Derrick Henry as CeeDee Lamb and DeAndre Swift go on the turn. I think the argument there is he's built different than every other running back, I think, in NFL history. That he's just a genetic freak in nature, that even if he's not as efficient, he's going to get insane volume. And prior to his injury last year, he was Cooper Kupp. Derrick Henry was single-handedly winning people fantasy leagues up until the time he got injured last year. So that's the anti-Greg Rosenthal argument. I hear you about safety, but I think my counter to that is like, Chris McCaffrey had literally never missed a practice. Forget about a game. He'd literally never missed a practice or been in an injury report until 2 years ago, in which he couldn't, and then he couldn't stay on the field. Derrick Henry had been healthy up until last year. Like, everyone's, you know, one rolled ankle away, you know, one chop block away from being out. So, I mean, like, we're talking about tackle football. Who's safe? Like, they're all, you know, I mean, everyone's like one play away from a freak injury.
I think the thing with Henry as well is that he exists outside of game script, because they had that bizarre game last year at the start of the season where Titans played the Seahawks. Seahawks are up double digits in the second half, and the Titans just run Derrick Henry more. Just run more, down double digits, and they win the game, I think, in overtime. So, yeah, obviously he's intrinsic to that whole team, that whole offense. But, yeah, I would be lower on Henry than you, I think. I would actually take Alvin Kamara over Derrick Henry. And Kamara's just gone. He went after Saquon and DeAndre Swift.
I don't get that. Like, we just did a whole podcast, Greg and Pat, about Kamara. Not a whole podcast about it. It was one topic on the podcast. And I just said, to me, the only anti-Kamara argument is you think he might get suspended. And I don't think he's getting suspended this year. I don't think the NFL is going to rule on his suspension until the legal case plays out. I don't think the legal case is going to be finished until the football season's over. If he gets suspended, I think it's 2023. And so if you knew that Alvin Kamara was going to be eligible for all 17 games this year, like, what are we doing? This is a top five fantasy running back.
I'm with you. I think he'd be my top three. I think it'd be Taylor, Cook, and Kamara.
Yeah.
I think the anti-argument for Kamara is like everything's new, you know, not new quarterback anymore, new coach, like entirely new supporting cast. You know, he was last year for the first time ever in his career, they finally gave him like those really big workloads. I don't think he had ever had more than 20 carries in a game until last year, and he had several 30. And, you know, he just wasn't efficient. He wasn't effective, but it was in an awful offensive environment. He does seem like a no-brainer bounce-back candidate. He's not going to be starting games anymore. With Ian Book, still the number one thing from the 2021 season, right. I cannot Ian unsee. Book. So, yeah. And with Henry, by the way, the only thing I was surprised about was that he went in the first round at all. This group, I thought it'd be one of those things where they would try to make him fall to like the third or fourth round.
Hey, do you want to do
no
Mark
one wanted
Andrews?
To be the newbie who took Derrick Henry.
Plus, I think fantasy.
We have 40 seconds to make a pick here. Who just went? Mike Evans just went. I don't want Nick Chubb.
I don't want Nick Chubb. Don't want Javonte.
Yeah. Mark Andrews and T. Higgins is interesting to me. If we want to do another running back, I'm good with Zeke here. I'm good with James Conner, who I really like. I don't feel strongly.
I can't believe Leonard Fournette is going in the second round.
Thank you.
Running back.
All right, we're drafting Zeke. All right, I'll explain my Zeke theory here in a second, and then. We can either do Mark Andrews or T. To me, it's Mark Andrews or T. Higgins.
Let's do Mark Andrews.
All right. Yep. There we go.
I like it.
We're going to wait on wide receivers. Zero wide receiver. Yeah, it's an interesting strategy. All right.
This is a good zag in this room where we're all just, you know, 9 or 10 receivers to start the draft. Then you start thinking about a running back maybe.
My argument about Ezekiel Elliott is that I think people – same thing. Is that I think people are like, oh, I know he looked slower last year. Tony Pollard, everyone wants to make Tony Pollard a thing. And it doesn't matter, Greg, how much you or Pat or anyone out there wants to make Tony Pollard a thing. Because one guy doesn't want to make Tony Pollard a thing, and that's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones still wants it to be the Ezekiel Elliott show, at least this year, when his guaranteed money runs out. And people forget, week four, Ezekiel Elliott partially tore his PCL. That didn't come out until after the season. But I don't think that got enough publicity. He was hurt throughout the entire year, and yet he still had double-digit touchdowns. He still finished as a top 20 fantasy running back. Like, through the first four games, this guy was the sixth best running back in fantasy.
Yep.
Like, I think he still has more juice left than he showed last year, and he's healthier. But more importantly, he's going to get insane volume on one of the best offenses in football. He's still going to get all the early down work and the touchdowns. Pollard to be more used in the passing game.
Okay. All right. That's my argument. Should we bring in Evan Silva?
There's Evan Silva.
Hello.
Evan Silva, hired by Greg Rosenthal.
The big dog.
Big dog. He left. He used to write for RotoWorld, the matchups column, which is one of the great columns in fantasy football history. I think it is one of the iconic columns in literally fantasy football history.
Thank you.
He has since left RotoWorld to start Establish the Run with Adam Levitan, another RotoWorld alumnus. I'm a subscriber to Establish the Run. It's a great site. You guys do a fantastic job, Evan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Matthew Berry. And I got my RotoWorld hat on
today. Ooh, I should have brought mine in.
Yeah. Greg, just, you know, I was listening to what Greg's been saying. His fantasy acumen has just totally evaporated over the years, but it's nicer for him to make an appearance, you know?
I like because you guys are all in this bubble that it's like we have to go by like whatever, you know, so there's sort of like a groupthink that comes on. So it's very confusing when you see like guy like Leonard Fournette in the second round and like my big fantasy angle, because everyone's got to have a brand. Mine would be like, let's pick players that are good at football. Like, how about the players that are like good at football? That seems important. Like if in their 6 or 7 years, how many years have they been good at football? It's also why DeAndre Swift in the first round seems like a little much.
Hey, Evan.
Yo,
I got
a multitask right now and I cannot do this, Matthew Berry. So,
right. Well, you draft while I'm. I'll talk. Okay, I had What do you think?
Give me one sec.
Evan, Gronk's still out there, man.
I'm gonna take Kyle Pitts. Why not? You know, you only live once. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Matthew Berry. I'm sorry.
By the way, Nick Chubb is still out there, right?
Yes, like, he is.
Yeah, that's people right. hate Nick Chubb.
Well, he's too good at real football. Is the problem?
Right. That would be my angle. Nick Chubb. That would be a good one.
Nick
good
Chubb is great football. At football. The problem is no one else on his team is. Anyway, no. In all seriousness, though, Evan, what I was going to ask is that prior to you coming on. Greg Rosenthal didn't understand why Derrick Henry was anywhere close to the first round. I was saying I thought it was surprising that Henry lasted all the way till 10 or 9. I think he went pick 9.
Right.
And I know you and I both, but I know you have often talked about the big dog eating. Where are you on Derrick Henry this year? Rosie's entirely out on Henry.
It's a good question. It's always a good debate because he has the potential to lead the NFL in touches. And we know that usage and he has the ability to hit long runs. He's going to be the centerpiece of the offense, right? So there's definitely a bull case to be made here for him. And I think the bearish case is he's somewhat situation dependent. The Titans were obvious. I mean, I think according to Football Outsiders, they were one of the worst number one seeds in the history of the league. I worry about their team not being as good, them falling behind more. That would cut into his touches. He is, I mean, if you look at his touches dating back to his final season at Alabama, this dude has been worked like crazy. So is that starting to catch up with him? I do think he's an injury risk, but he also, you know, again, I mean, he could run the ball almost 400 times. They used him a little bit more in the passing game under Todd Downing last year. So he's a guy that, you know, I go back and forth. This year I'm lower on him than ADP. But again, you can build a real strong bull case for him.
I think I'm probably right there in the middle on him on ADP. I'm not like super bullish, but I'm not super bearish either. My answer to that is that while they've used him a ton, it's weird. When he came into the NFL, people forget, like, he couldn't get past DeMarco Murray. The first couple of years he's in the NFL, he was basically DeMarco Murray's backup and Deion Lewis. Like, they were playing Deion Lewis over him. And he had a couple of quote years of rest, if you will.
That's true.
And I also think that like the normal usage rules about, oh, you know, running backs over 400 carries or running backs over 300 carries year after year, like just don't apply to a guy that's like that effing big. Like he's just a genetic freak of nature that I don't think you've seen a running back that size since maybe Brandon Jacobs. And obviously he has so much more speed than Jacobs. I mean, like he's just a different beast, you know what I mean? Like, that's sort of my take on Henry.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, you know, imagine being a 230-pound linebacker or a 210-pound safety meeting Derrick Henry on the second level. Mm. You know, you got to think about your family. You have to make decisions based on your family.
This is a decision. You know? It's like when I first met Silva. Like I had I was his boss, and I was, you know, probably sometimes a little sharp with him when we would get into arguments. And then we finally met after a few years in Chicago. And I was like, oh, my God, look at this man. I can't believe I've
Greg and Evan, when you guys like get this. Into it, it was like watching my parents fight. And then, like, it was two people I loved and respected. And it also would get, like, shockingly personal.
Silva's killing it with this draft, though. I have to, you know, we're going to be taping our show, the Around the NFL podcast. Silva's coming on that too. He's busy today. Happens to be on the same day. I'm giving Silva the win so far through three rounds of all these teams.
I'll take it.
By the way, hearing Greg talk up, you know, how much he loves Nick Chubb and hates Derrick Henry. I'm good. I'm not sure you want that compliment, Silva. I'm not sure. That's
I don't hate Derrick Henry. That's like mid second round.
Fine. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Who's on you? I can't even say. Like, I don't even know who's on anyone's team. I can't figure this out.
Kamara, Pitts. He goes Allen Robinson in four. That's bold, but I like it.
Matthew Berry. What's it like being at the old stomping grounds again? Although it's not really the old stomping grounds, is it? Right. It's much different.
Much different. It's awesome. Honestly, it's awesome. I mean. It's weird because I want to couch it because if I sit here and say like how happy I am, it makes it sound like I hated ESPN and everything like that. Right. I don't want to crap on ESPN. Like I had a great 15-year run there and I loved ESPN and I have a lot of friends still there. And so I want to be you know, careful there, and I don't want anyone to think that, but I am so happy. I am so happy to be
you
here.
You seem like, happy. You seem energetic, you know?
It just, you know what, Matthew, you're glowing.
Yeah. Honestly, it's a
chat. You're hot, Matthew.
If I had stayed at ESPN and they made me a really nice offer, a 3-year extension, it would have been to do the same thing. And, you know, it felt like time. I just wanted to challenge myself, and I didn't want to just keep doing the same thing. And so the opportunity to try to come here and start a new podcast and start a Sunday show and, you know, the opportunity to be on Football Night in America and to actually get fantasy football into an NFL awesome. Game pregame show. I thought that was just too much of an amazing opportunity that I couldn't pass up, honestly. And cool. Everyone top to bottom here at NBC, this is going to sound like I'm kissing ass, but it's true. Top to bottom here at NBC has been nothing short of supportive and awesome. And how can we help and what can we do? And, you know, like, again, I like this thing. I said, like, we were like, hey, we should do some, you know, the idea was like, hey, we want to do a mock draft show. And I said, let's do a Roto World reunion show. Can we get Roto World alumni? And they were like, that's an awesome idea. Let's do that. Like, they have been so gung ho about everything. It's like, Evan, I honestly, I am so insanely happy.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. And the talent that we brought in for this reunion, I mean, it just goes to show, like, they're Andy Reid's coaching tree ain't got nothing on the Matthew Berry and the Roto World coaching tree.
Right. None of this, and I'm taking off shortly, so I did want to say before I go, none of this would have happened without you, Barry. Yeah. You helped keep that site afloat, and I saw up close every day. It was called All Star Stats back then. It was mostly a stat service, and Roto World was just like a little sprinkle add on for the people that were paying to have printouts sent to them of fantasy stats, and you kept the lights on for all of us before we got there. And I remember how excited we were when NBC bought us in 06.
Yep.
And I think they put a little Roto World 10-second ad during Sunday Night Football in the preseason, and now we got that. Now you're back and you're
and,
on.
And I think a ton of people went to the site and the site crashed or something. Like,
oh yeah. 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 I mean, what are some of your guys' memories of Roto World? Before you go, Greg, because I thank you for your kind words, by the way. The truth of the matter is that we all owe a debt of gratitude to Matthew Pugliot, because to your point, absolutely. It was All-Star Stats. It was this commissioner service. The people that owned the company, they thought that was their big ticket to money. And so they just had this news service off to the side they didn't care about. And Matthew Pugliot was the guy that you want to do him? Yeah, great.
Bateman?
Yeah, let's do Bateman. Sorry. We're
Juju
we're
in the fourth.
We're just like, we need a wide receiver, and like, I don't know. We're like, I'm half paying attention. Like, I don't know. Probably a terrible pick, but whatever.
Barry's spinning right now. He's getting complimented too much. It's a strategy.
Well, one of my earliest memories was really, I started reading Roto World when I was in college. You know, I would go to the library, supposedly going to study, but I'd really just be reading Roto World the entire time. And I would read a lot of baseball blurbs because Pugliot. I don't know.
Yeah, Pugliot.
It's French, right? French.
Pugliot.
Yeah. So he was doing the blurbs, and they were so creative, and they were predictive, which is something that stood out to me. Like, it wasn't just hindsight analysis. It wasn't descriptive analysis. It was like, hey, this guy is actually better than, you know, his batting average right now, and you know he's going to come. He's buy low on him. You know, because he's going to regress back toward the mean. And that sounds kind of simplistic to us now, but I thought that at the time that was so brilliant. And he would also like make fun of managers. He loved to rip. I think he's a Red Sox fan. And
he
loved to rip on Terry Francona. Any chance that he had in the blurbs, he would rip Terry Francona. And that's what really drew me to Roto World initially was Matthew Pugliot's blurb writing.
He literally, for the first 3 years, every blurb, every player, every sport, he wrote. It literally was, he was the only guy for like 3 years. And so I think we all owed a debt of gratitude. He gave me my start. And, you know, I've been happy to give a bunch of people their starts, just like Greg gave Evan and Pat their starts. And so, yeah, I mean, I think there's it's been an amazing run of talent that have come through the doors at Roto World. And so it's something that as we sort of bring the brand back, we want to celebrate, and we want to, I'll tell you guys, and we'll talk offline, but that is something that it is our hope here that this isn't a one-off, that we that, you know, we celebrate and work with all you guys, because you guys all do great work. I mean, not you, Rotopat, you're already here, you know, like whatever, you know.
You're fine.
You're already here. Right. But no, but honestly, like ETR does great work. We'd love to do more with ETR and NFL and be great. I mean, we're partners with the NFL, obviously, in terms of the Sunday night broadcasts, but we'd love to do all that. So appreciate that. And just do some draft analysis here. I'll just say, in a league with three wide receivers, Jay, I think we totally effed this draft up. Is that right? I mean, right. We had to reach for Juju at the end of the fourth and Bateman at the top of the fifth. I'm trying to host this show, and I've got like all these. All these notes and everything like that about what I'm supposed to do, and never host a show and try to do a draft at the same time, especially with a partner.
I think if we didn't have the lobster rolls, maybe we wouldn't have gone Zeke Greg, have you got to go?
I am going to take off. Thanks for having me. Next time, I do want to do the draft itself. Because I want to prove Evan wrong.
When was the last time you drafted?
I want to prove Evan wrong, and I want to show
Rosenthal hasn't done an actual fantasy draft in years.
Did he even do him when he worked for RotoWorld?
Do you even play in fantasy leagues anymore,
Rosenthal? I don't, to be honest. But my son is starting a league this year. He's into it. He's been begging me to do it. So I'm trying to get Evan's daughter in here. So the next generation is taking over.
Greg?
He's seven.
Okay. That's great. Just do me a favor. I'm going to ask a personal favor of Evan and Pat. You talk to Greg's son, just because otherwise, if Greg teaches him about fantasy, we might be screwed. You know?
Yeah. Don't teach him to take good players. Off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, he'll be screwed. He'll take Juju and Rashad Bateman in rounds 4 and 5.
Exactly right. You don't want that.
No. Only draft situations. Never draft players.
All right, see y'all later. Thank you for having me, man.
Rosie, you want a quick plug? Anything?
No, we already mentioned it. Check out the Around the NFL Fantasy Extravaganza. Will be out this week, but we're doing 3 or 4 shows a week, so that's the focus here of the podcast.
All right, great. Well, we'll check that out, Around the NFL, and follow him on Twitter, @ Greg Rosenthal. Rosie, my friend, great to see you, brother.
Great seeing you guys all together. See you.
See you, Greg.
A lot of Pat and Evan as well.
Okay. We're saying goodbye to Pat and Evan?
Yeah, we're booting him.
They're
out.
Well, they're afraid we would start fighting.
Before we do, so Pat does all the rankings. He does blurbs. Pat, what's going on rotoworld.com right now? Give us a plug for what you've got going on.
Just this week, got a new Superflex mock draft up in our draft guide. I have like a rankings update article coming out in a day or two, just kind of cataloging the big change, you know, big preseason weekend, a lot of changes after last weekend. Got a rankings update coming out. Have an ADP article coming out soon where I'm going to kind of be examining like the most like fateful, like the hinge point ADP basically of around like the player with the widest range of outcomes, like the player who will like be winning or losing drafts in that round, kind of going round by round. And, you know, this weekend, final weekend of the preseason, it's not like it used to be. We used to, you know, third week of the preseason, we used to do like full game write-ups, but people don't play their starters anymore. And if they do, they play 2 series, but still going to be a lot of news. So we're going to have news on the site all weekend. I got podcasts coming out, got everything. So final cuts coming up next Tuesday as well. So keep it locked to the site for that. We'll have every cut blurbed. So just a really, really big, busy week in RotoWorld.
Sounds good. RotoWorld.com, NBCSportsEdge.com. Based on your ADP and your rankings, how badly did we reach for Juju Smith-Schuster?
Unfortunately, I'm part of the Juju clique, so it was just fine to me. The guy's going to draw the most targets from the best football player on the planet. I'm more than okay with it, man.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a monster year. Rotopat, we will see you. Evan, obviously everyone can follow you and everyone follow Pat @ Rotopat. Evan, everyone follows you @ Evan Silva, establishtherun.com. Again, can't recommend the site enough. It is, if you are a hardcore player, and if you're watching a freaking 12-person mock draft on YouTube, you're a hardcore player.
You probably are.
I think Establish the Run does great work. So anything, Evan, you want to specifically mention? Anything you got specifically coming out on ETR?
No. I mean, there's always a bunch of stuff coming up. Tonight, I'm getting excited about this live draft event in Oak Park, Illinois, right outside Chicago. Yeah. You got to come one of these years, Matthew Berry. I know this is the busiest time of year for all of us, so it's really difficult. But if you're ever in the Chicago area, toward this time of year in August, please come out. I mean, that would be an absolute thrill. It'd be amazing to have you. But I'm, you know, that's going to be my thing tonight, starting at 7 o'clock tonight at Kettle Strings restaurant in Oak Park, Illinois. That's what I'm all excited about right now.
Yeah. I saw you tweet about it. That's a cool thing. It's such a community thing. I think you told me, you said you guys had like over 70 people last year in the main and expecting a bigger crowd this year.
Yep.
So that'd be great. Do you know what your pick is? Do you know what league you're in that particular thing?
No, I think we kind of decide that at the place. So I don't know. Thanks so much for inviting me on. And you guys have a bunch of talented guests to get to, so I'm gonna take off. But great seeing you guys.
Appreciate you, Evan. We'll see you soon. Talk to you soon, man.
Later.
Appreciate you.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, let's know, and I think it's our turn to draft. As I see Lawrence Jackson from Roto World and Evan's co-host, co-owner of Establish the Run, Adam Levitan. We'll talk about you guys in a second. We're up.
Jalen Hurts.
I think Jalen Hurts. I think ride or die.
Yeah,
I think we got to go Jalen Hurts here. Yeah. So we're doing here. So we got a minute to draft. Our wide receivers are a little dicey. If I'm being honest, it feels like it would be a real reach here. So we do play two flexes in this. So you got Eli Mitchell. I want no part of – we're sort of in the running back dead zone. You know, I'm looking at sort of ADP. It's like CEH, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris.
I want Rashad Penny.
You want Rashad Penny? Chase Edmonds. I like Chase Edmonds a lot. I mean, we're all over the board in ADP, but Rashad Penny will do it.
Yeah.
That's good. Huge Rashad upside. Penny, huge upside.
Big upside.
Please, no one pay attention. Please don't publish this draft. This is just for us, right? This is just for us. Like, no one's going to see this, right? I'm just asking my producer. Steve, like, no one's good. We're not publishing this, right? No, okay, they're saying no. All right, good. Joining us, okay, so joining us right now, Adam Levitan, who worked from Roto World, he wrote the waiver column from in Roto World. Adam, when did you work for Roto World? Do you remember what years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it changed my life, man. I was writing this fantasy column for something called the Metro newspaper. I sent some clips to Greg Rosenthal in 2005, 2006. Didn't hear anything back from him for 4, 5, 6 months. I was getting ready to, you know, do something real with my life. And then like one day I got an email from Greg. It said, hey, sorry it took me so long to get back to you. You know, we don't have any spots for writing articles, but you can come on and do some news blurbs or try doing some news blurbs for us. And that was in 2007 or so. And so I started off just doing hourly work on news blurbs. And I was with Roto World until I left in 2015. So yeah, it really changed my life for sure.
So till 2015, what was your first year?
2007 to 2015. Yeah.
2007 to 2015. So really a long, long run. And then right, you and Evan left to go to establish the run. .com. I blew a lot of smoke up of Evan's butt when he was here too, but I'll just say to you, I think you guys do great work there. I think it's a terrific site, and I would love to Roto World is proud of its alumnus, so you guys have done absolutely. Congratulations on all the success.
Yes,
that you guys have there.
Really appreciate it. Welcome back to you. That's great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Also, my buddy Lawrence Jackson at Lord Don't Lose Fantasy Life alumnus Lawrence Jackson.
Yeah.
He came to NBC. We were both doing some Fantasy Life stuff. He got here first. Lawrence, good to see you, my friend.
You too, man. What's going on? I actually think I'm on the clock. I'm either on the clock or I'm next. One of the two.
Figured out. Listen, we've screwed our draft six ways till Sunday. Why don't you and Jay will co-host and you'll co-manage a team. I'm like, great, sure. Yeah. And meanwhile, anyway, my team's a disaster. Rashawn it's Penny. Awful.
Yeah.
It's Yahoo's going to give us an F.
I was just like y'all, man. I'm out here struggling on receivers. I'm looking right now. I'm going to just go ahead and take DeAndre Hopkins right here since it's already down bad for my receiving crew right now. You know.
There you go.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny when you get into a league with a lot of smart people that all sort of know what they're doing and everything like that. And you just like, we're all avoiding this running back dead zone. This, you know, the Miles Sanders, the Antonio Gibson. The
right.
You know, we all hate the same guys. Adam, do you have a memory of your time at RotoWorld? Is anything, you know, is there one specific thing that sort of jumps out at you?
Yeah.
You know, when I mentioned the name RotoWorld?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people started using RotoWorld as a verb while I was there. You know, it was like, oh, you want to do a trade? Did you RotoWorld him? And I was like, wait a minute, RotoWorld's not a verb, you know? And people, and I started hearing everybody say that, and it kind of got, you know, nobody would do a trade, nobody would make a waiver pickup without RotoWorlding someone first. And that was really cool for sure. I'd say another memory was the lockout year because people probably don't remember, but you know, we were not busy at all throughout the whole lockout, obviously. And then when the lockout ended, they did everything at once, free agency, the draft, trades. I mean, it was like everything at once. And that turned into a mess where all of us were kind of on our last limbs. And, you know, I have good memories of Wes from that time talking about going to drink beer instead of doing more blurbs and stuff like that. And so, yeah, those were the days, man. It was fun for sure.
Damian Pierce goes. I'm just sort of looking at this last round. We're finally sitting to start. See some of these. We took Penny. Like
Lawrence, what do you think of Damian Pierce going after Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Who would you be taking out of those two guys first?
I would go Damian Pierce, man. And as you can see, they both went pretty close right here. At this point, I would just want to go with the upside of Damian Pierce instead of getting involved with what's probably going to be a three-man committee out there in Kansas City. Jared McKinnon definitely going to get some love. We see Pacheco trying to do his thing. So I would just go with Pierce since only the really dude he got to beat out is Marlon Mack. So I would ride with Pierce definitely. So whoever got him. So that's solid right there.
Pierce is definitely somebody that's, you know, risen a lot up in preseason. Adam, I follow you on Twitter, so I know you talk about, you know, preseason trends quite a bit. I know that's something you guys are doing at ETR as well. You know, it's always with preseason, like it's sifting through like, hey, this is actual buzz. There's a reason for this. And I think with Pierce, it's legitimate. And there's also like the, you know, best shape of his career, blah, blah, blah. That, you know, I always feel like, you know, last couple of years, as Isaiah Pacheco has sort of gotten some love, people bring up Darwin Thompson as sort of the poster boy of preseason buzz that then absolutely fizzled. I know you are a huge preseason snaps guy and you look at all that stuff. Are there any guys in the preseason that have significantly moved up your ranks? Or are there buzzy guys that you're like, you're just ignoring, you don't buy?
Yeah, I think Pierce is a good point as someone who coaches speak with their actions. In other words, hey, Marlon Mack, you're going to play in this game. Hey, Rex Burkhead, you're going to play in this game. Damian Pierce, you're going to rest in this game. Teams don't do that to a fourth round rookie. I question the upside a little bit of playing running back for the Texans when other guys are going to be in there. Like, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire in a timeshare worth more than Damian Pierce as a feature back? I don't think that's crazy to think that at all. But yeah, I mean, I think there hasn't been as much this year. We obviously got a really long look at what the Chiefs think of Ronald Jones. They don't think much of Ronald Jones. We've certainly backed off him. I think the Kenny Golladay stuff where he's mixing a bit with Colin Johnson, I think that's a little bit scary, but you see that reflected in ADP. Kenny Golladay goes in the 13th or 14th round. The snap count stuff in the preseason hasn't been, I think, as plentiful this year. Not much of it matters. I just think what does matter matters a lot. Oh, the Treylon Burks thing. I'm so tired of talking about Treylon Burks, but Treylon Burks is down bad right now, man. I mean, he's buried for sure. I think that he's going to start off as the number four number five wide receiver for the Titans. And that's bad because, I mean, they're going to start Nick Westbrook Akine and Kyle Phillips and Robert Woods, 30 years old, off an ACL. And so it doesn't look great for
Robert Woods just went in this round, like in the we're in the eighth round of a 12-team, three wide receiver draft. I love Woods at that spot there. I think he's going to get a massive target share. He looks to be healthy. This is a guy who's been a top 20 wide receiver every year of his career, or at least every year since he's been in Los Angeles. He was up and down in Buffalo. I kind of like Woods this year at where he's going ADP-wise.
Yeah. It's just tough for me to get excited about a 30-year-old off an ACL playing with Ryan Tannehill, but I hear you. His ADP is certainly palatable.
Hey, if they put that man out there week one, he's good to go in my book. And the fact that Treylon Burks ain't getting off to the start they want him to, Robert Woods is easily far and away their best option in the passing game. It's going to take it looks like it's going to take Treylon a little bit to catch up to speed there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're up. We need some receivers.
We're so brutal. I mean, so you know what? I mean, what we could do here is like, I mean, we're so all over the place here, but just you want to talk about sort of preseason buzz. Romeo Dobbs is there. George Pickens is there. Just in terms of sort of preseason buzzy guys, Isaiah McKenzie is there. As I'm going through sort of the wide receivers. Any of those guys, Adam, in terms of preseason buzz that you sort of like? And Lawrence, then I want your thoughts as well. But we have 25 seconds left.
Yeah, I think the Dub stuff has gotten a bit too hype. Same with the Pacheco stuff. Yeah, Pickens is going to play a lot, but I don't know how many guys that they can support. I don't want to say. Yeah. I have some wide receivers in my queue that I'm looking at, and I'm right next to you guys.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh yeah. Let's do Devin Singletary. I'm with you on Devin Singletary.
Very unsexy, but
very unsexy.
But perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. You do play two. I'll just say this. Just talk about draft strategy for a second. So like, people went wide receiver crazy in this league, and so we're sort of chasing wide receivers here. We haven't even filled out. Like, we only have two wide receivers in a three wide receiver league, and we're now into round nine. So we're a little screwed. So my thought is I think the value is at running back, right? Yeah. I mean, so again, if you find yourself in a draft like this and you've completely screwed it up the way Jay and I have, then I think what you can do is try to get yourself some depth. Again, you don't need to leave the draft with a perfect team. What you can do is you can say like, okay, you know what? People are going to need running backs. You know, let's build up some depth here. And so I like Devin Singletary. I think he's going to play with the ones. He played, I think, every snap that Josh Allen was out there in the last game. Like, he's going to be the guy. I don't think Zach Moss or James Cook are going to be a thing. You know, maybe Cook on third down a little bit, but I think Devin Singletary gets a pretty healthy workload with one of the best offenses in football. And so then do we trade one of our better running backs because we feel like we can use Singletary to get a better wide receiver, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, again,
we don't have a lot of leverage, but
no, but you're trying to get building blocks,
yep.
You know, Lawrence, where are you at some of these preseason buzz guys? Anyone out there that have sort of caught your eye?
Yeah, so you were mentioning George Pickens and Romeo Dobbs. When it comes to those two players, I would definitely just go with the better player in that situation, which would be George Pickens. But just like Adam said, like, how many Steelers receivers you really going to draft? If Kenny Pickett get in there at quarterback, it ain't going to be as bad. You know, he don't run the ball like Mitchell Trubisky. He's looked good in the preseason. I feel a lot better drafting multiple Steelers receivers with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. Dobbs, Aaron Rodgers just said it. He likes him, but he would prefer that the veterans start out first. So at best right now, coming out the gate in the beginning of the season, he wide receiver four on that team. He got to work his way up. So I would go Pickens definitely over Dobbs right now.
There you go. Adam, any so you've now – who did you end up taking? You took Chase Claypool. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. I had a couple other guys I was considering. I had Garrett Wilson in the queue, Cordarrelle Patterson, Tyler Boyd, Treylon Burks. But, yeah, I think Steelers will play three wide receiver as a base this year. 21 out of their 25 snaps in their second preseason game were in three wide receiver. And Claypool plays the slot there. And, like, yep. I know he was bad last year. He got benched at a point last year. Dude is 6'4", 238, playing the slot. I mean, if they give him chances, I think he can win there. And maybe it's like part of his progression towards being a tight end or whatever, you know, but people who don't like him say that. But, you know, these big guys in the slot certainly intrigue me. So I like getting Claypool there. I actually have Claypool slightly ahead of Pickens, but not by a lot.
I'll just say this, and we've been saying this on the show, for everyone that's just like, Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, who knows, like, whoever is quarterback of Steelers, I think it's an upgrade.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think people, like, the people that are like, oh, like, they didn't watch football last year.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger was awful.
Bottom five. Yes. Easily bottom five. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been awful for two years. So yeah. I think that I get it with Trubisky and Pickett's a rookie, but those guys are both going to be actually fairly big upgrades. I think the Steelers' offense will be better this year than it was last year. Trubisky, I don't think Trubisky's terrible.
No, I agree. But the problem is they have the league's worst offensive line, like stone cold worst offensive line in the entire league. But besides that, they have good pieces on offense for sure.
They do. And hopefully Trubisky's mobility will help offset that. I'm being told to tell you guys goodbye. Just so you know, it's not me. It's Brian Rubin. He wants to get rid of you guys. I would talk to you forever. Just to be clear, if you're angry about your lack of time here, Brian Rubin is the person to tell us. Adam, we will check you out on Twitter at Adam Levitan. Do we think we ever get an updated photo for you?
I
look 12 in your Twitter bio.
I plan to die with that as my profile picture. Okay. So no,
that's fantastic. You'll be like, you look like me. You'll be my age one day, and you'll still have that Twitter profile with a full head of hair. Anyway, we'll follow you there, and we'll check all out your stuff at establishtherun.com. Again, you guys do great work there. Lawrence Jackson at Lord Don't Lose. Follow him on Twitter. We will see you on Roto World and NBC Sports at
Establish the Roto World.
Establish the Roto World. We're bringing Roto World back, and you are a big piece of it, my friend. Lawrence, we'll talk to you soon. What do you got coming up this week? Anything? Any pieces?
It's weekly roundups, man. Stock up, stock down, and just getting ready for that season grind, baby. That's it.
All right. Appreciate you. All right, man. Lawrence, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. Now let's bring in from Roto World is Denny Carter and another alumnus.
Yes.
And that is Josh Norris, the face of Underdog Fantasy. Josh Norris, who's draft analyst, podcast pioneer, I'm told, at Roto World. Were you the first podcaster at Roto World, Josh?
So I think Adam and Kay might claim this. They did like two episodes, but you know, once you do 550 straight, Matthew, I think you can claim it for yourself, right? So
yeah,
this is how we ended it.
So. Yeah, 1,000%. Screw Adam. Screw Kay.
Exactly. Who are those people?
You know what? Yeah, you're the podcast pioneer. We're calling it right now. Welcome back. Denny Carter, also with a jacket.
Another blazer. Yeah
another blazer.
Yeah.
I got to class it up a little.
He said, hey, let's blazer it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I called Pat before. I said, we're doing the blazer. We're bringing some oomph to the podcast. You guys are there in your t-shirts and your jerseys. We want to balance it a little bit. That's all.
Yeah. We're in a bar set wearing t-shirts, whatever. I'm a 50-year-old man in a t-shirt.
I want to thank Josh.
Just so you understand I just realized this. I had this crystallizing moment. I just realized this. This is what my life has become. I'm a 50-year-old man in a fake bar wearing a t-shirt, talking on a Zoom call about fake football with 11 other people. Next to an Australian guy in a Chad Pennington jersey. Yeah. Somehow my life.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
What a world.
What a world.
Josh, I appreciate you jumping off my TV for long enough to draft with us. Every time I turn on my TV, Josh is there. And when I'm at a bar or restaurant, I say, oh, my God, I know that guy. And then they kick me out.
Speaking of Matthew, an old podcast bit that we had with Denny was to just get Denny's thoughts on random things. So if you will allow me to, I would love to take a minute to figure this out. Okay.
By all means.
Denny, your thoughts on cruises.
Cruises?
Like cruise ships.
In the current pandemic age, it sounds like the biggest nightmare of all time. It sounds like that's where if I go to hell, I will be on a cruise forever in hell. Yeah.
Do you think there's a certain type of person that goes on a cruise like now presently?
Oh man. I mean,
do we not want to alienate any of the audience potentially? That might happen.
I know our Rich Rebar, who's in this draft, recently went on a cruise and he had a great time.
We love Rich. We love Reeves.
So I do love Rich. So I can't say anything bad.
I've been on cruise. I will say this. I've been on two cruises in my life, both pre-pandemic. But when you have kids, it's actually great. I mean, I have a lot of kids. And so we took our kids young. And so it is great because they can sort of run around a little bit, and they're more or less like there's not they can't go anywhere.
It's like self-contained. It's self-contained entertainment.
It's correct. It is self-contained entertainment. I mean, I do think about some of the stuff that I remember from the cruises where they would just have like, you know, it was all those all inclusive.
Yeah.
And so I just think about all the different people like going up to like the ice cream machine and like and the sodas. And so yeah, I mean, it is just a germ fest.
Yeah.
Not for nothing. Oh, it's our turn to draft. At this point, like we're so out on everything.
Let's go filter back to everything.
Did you guys get ambushed by the receiver craziness?
I'm kind of into
Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson is interesting.
Melvin Gordon,
we could do that. You know, there's also Dak Prescott. We could trade Jalen Hurts, you know, like as we're talking about getting depth. Whatever, we've completely effed this draft. So
welcome to the world of hosting and drafting at the same time.
Yeah, it's awful. All right, we got 10 seconds left. Make a call. Whoever you want.
Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, sure. Right.
You have to do two in a row. That's
right. We do have to do two in a row.
Oh, no, you've pressed the wrong button.
Oh, no.
We got him in.
Wow. There you go.
But by the way, that is every moment in every draft. We have 10 seconds left. We have to pick something. Oh, we hate them all. Who do you want? Melvin Gordon. Yeah. Melvin Gordon is the perfect pick for that situation.
You're right about that.
He is the logical endpoint.
Yeah. Speaking of Melvin Gordon, Matthew, by the way, I think my team was heavily influenced by everyone overlooking certain players. Like everyone wants to leave Clyde Edwards-Helaire out for dead. Everyone wants to leave Damian Harris out for dead. DK Metcalf's not going to do well in Seattle. James Conner, no one wants to draft James Conner in round three, and I just wanted to benefit from this and add them to my team.
Where'd you get Damian Harris?
Did we miss our pick?
We ought to draft Jacoby Myers.
We ought to draft Jacoby Myers.
You did.
What the F? This is the worst. By the way, you know what? I've loved my time at Roto World since I've come back, except for this moment where I've had to mock draft while hosting 12 other people. I've got all these notes about everything that I'm supposed to do. It's like
he's the perfect auto draft guy, Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers never, is the like
a human being never presses the button to draft Jacoby Myers.
That was awful. I didn't even. And by the way, and I'm also like, and this is an excuse, but like I haven't drafted on Yahoo before. Like, I mean, no, seriously. I mean, I spent 15 years at ESPN. I kind of like constantly drafted on ESPN. Yeah. Like, I've done a lot more underdog drafts. Yeah. And by the way, underdog's been in existence for like 3 years. Mm. Like, I've literally done a ton more underdog drafts than I ever have on Yahoo. So I'm still trying to learn everyone's got their different. I don't totally understand.
Playing on a different surface.
I'm playing on a different surface. Yeah, yeah, totally. So, Josh, I think you listen. I'm a big fan of Underdog. You guys do great work there. It's such a fun platform, and I think you've done a terrific job.
Thank you.
Kind of as the face of that company. I agree with Denny. You do show up on TV a lot. Like, I don't know what the ad spend is for Underdog, but like, it's impressive. Here's a question for you. Do you get recognized in public now?
No. I live in Brooklyn. My name isn't attached to anything. At one point, hopefully someone will like come up to me at the gym and be like, hey, you're not as pale in real life, or like, hey, the screen does add 15 extra pounds. Right. You know, I'm sure things like this have been said to you, Matthew. But yes. No, right now I'm just the guy in the black t-shirt yelling at you to win $2 million playing fantasy football, which is pretty cool.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all, right?
It's just pretty cool.
Denny, any thoughts on this draft so far? I mean, we hate our team.
Can I talk about Denny's team?
You hate your own team.
Can I talk about Denny's team? Because he did something absolutely egregious to start this draft. Okay. So we are here at the end of round three, the 3-10 selection. He takes Gabriel Davis, who I love, but ahead of DJ Moore, Mike Williams, Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton, Terry McLaurin, and PPR. I love Gabriel Davis. Love him. But some of those names, when we're considering the scoring, Denny, that's over a stamp. DJ that's
Moore,
pounding the table.
Over DJ Moore is a bit egregious.
It sounds like you don't love him enough.
No. I love him ahead of everyone else in the world except for you. So like what? 6 billion people
besides you? Be honest, Denny. Here's a question. I'm going to take Josh's question and just redirect it slightly. Be honest. Would you, if this were a draft that actually counted, thank God it doesn't, because again, we just auto-drafted Jacoby Myers. I'm sorry, Alexa. Alexa told me not to say the F word, and I just did. I'm sorry. I got out-drafted Jacoby Myers. I'm allowed one. But, like, you know, what I would say here is like, if this were a real draft, would you still draft Gabriel Davis over DJ Moore? Or is this you trying to show off in an expert draft? Because that happens in expert drafts all the time where, like, I want to stake a claim to this guy or that guy. And so you make like some sort of like crazy pick. Like, look how high I am on Gabriel Davis.
Right. No. It there, you know, to use an appropriate phrase, we like to peacock with each other when we're, nice. You know, when we're on here. So I may have been doing a little of that, but I'm sick and tired of being in sharp draft rooms, which is a lot, tons of sharp guys and missing out on Gabe Davis. This has happened to me 3 or 4 times this summer, and I refuse to let it happen again. I reached for him. It is a reach, but I feel okay about it because of the draft room. Now, in a casual draft room, I certainly wouldn't have taken him there. I would have waited at least one round.
What's the opposite of peacocking? Because I think we anti-peacocked with taking Jacoby Myers on auto draft.
On auto draft. I'm so annoyed. whatever. It's good. By the way, watch Jacoby Myers have like the greatest season of all time. Yeah. Watch him catch 120 balls from Mac Jones.
Cooper Kupp and Jacoby Myers.
Right, exactly. Josh, what's your team looking like? I can't even see on the screen.
Yeah, you were auto drafting Jacoby Myers, I made this claim that I was happy to inherit all the people that everyone is overlooking this season, like casting out for dead, like James Conner in round 3. For some reason, no one wants to draft James Conner, despite them not filling in whatever Chase Edmonds had. And, you know, that role was between the 20s that Chase Edmonds had. James Conner had all the high value touches, and now he's going to be used maybe 65-75% of the time. The same can be said for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who, by all accounts, by us watching the preseason, I think he's locked in as their top running back. Damian Harris, you know, Ramondre Stevenson goes multiple picks or even sometimes multiple rounds ahead of him now. And has he lost the goal line role? Who knows? And then DK Metcalf, everyone's just casting him off because of playing in Seattle, which granted, but we're also getting him here at the top of the 5th round. So I'm just dropping all the value, allowing it to stack up on my team because I like these good offenses and good teams.
I agree with a lot of that assessment. I'm out on CEH, although I don't mind where you got him. But I'm totally with you on James Conner. We actually thought about James Conner instead of Zeke. It was like right there, back and forth. He wanted to go Zeke over Conner. I have Conner actually ranked higher than Zeke. I'm with you. My love-hate list comes out on Thursday, tomorrow actually, assuming I get it finished in time. Heads up, Ed Williams, you might have a late night editing. but James Conner is on my – I agree with you. The goal line role is there. He was a top 6 running back in the weeks that Chase Edmonds missed last year.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, oh, the touchdowns are going to regress. And, like, I don't think they actually are. Cardinals have been top 2 in goal-to-go rushing attempts each of the last 2 seasons. They like that. Kingsbury likes that. And he's more involved in the passing game. I think people would be shocked to know that he was top 10 in receiving yards among running backs last year. Like, people don't realize what a good pass catcher James Conner is. So I like that call. Damian Harris is fine. I'm team Ramondre over Damian Harris.
So am I, but I mean, Matthew, you know, back in June, Ramondre Stevenson was going 38 picks after than he is now. You know, like there's a huge shift. And I think that this can kind of get into the groupthink of what fantasy football is, where are we sure that Ramondre should now be drafted over Damian Harris or jump up 40 spots? Like I'm taking the one that now is a drop in value, because especially what we've seen the preseason is one guy gets a series, the next guy gets a series. One guy gets a series, the next guy gets a series. And Ty Montgomery's also factored in with that, but I wouldn't be shocked if that backfield is condensed down to 2 people now versus, you know, the typical 3 that we've seen for the Patriots in its history.
Oh, Belichick said that yesterday, pretty much. Right. He said it's going to come down to those 2 guys.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Brian Rubin, Darth Rubin, he didn't like that point, Josh. So he says, you've got to go. Danny as well. Unfortunately, got to boot you fellas and bring in the next cycle.
Denny, real quickly, we can follow you on Twitter at CD Carter, right?
CD Carter 13.
At CD Carter 13. Sorry, I forgot the number. It's hard to keep track of that. What's the real account and all the parodies of your Twitter account?
That is true.
Check out your stuff at rotoworld.com, NBCSportsEdge.com. It's at Josh Norris, right?
It is. And the Underdog Football Show, having a blast. Matthew, this has been so much fun. Thanks for getting everyone together. And long live Roto World, everyone.
Long live Roto World. And congratulations on the success at Underdog. The funding round is amazing, and it's a lot of fun. Cool. So,
and everyone in the studio, by the way, great to see you. Big wave. Miss you all. See ya.
Love you. We'll see you, Josh. We'll see it. Let's bring in another great Roto World alumnus. That's what's been amazing is how the big names that have come through. I don't think people realize just how insane the alumni is at Roto World. At Lord Reeves, Rich Rebar comes in here, currently working over at Sharp Football Analysis, Roto World. Let's draft him.
Let's draft.
Yeah, we tried to draft him last time.
Yeah, so we got Tom.
Oh, but... No, it's 27. No, it's 27 picks until our turn. We're not up yet.
Oh,
wait, yeah, anyway, it's fine.
Dak
whatever.
Prescott, who we might have taken anyway.
Oh, did we get Jalen Tolbert?
Okay. Yeah, we just got him.
And we got Dak Prescott. We got auto drafted again.
But that's a good auto drop. We might have taken it.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. The second quarterback. That's good. Yeah. Fine. whatever. Our team is awful, Rich Rebar. Please don't look at our team. Please enjoy. Anyway, Sharp Football Analysis. I'm actually in business with Sharp Football Analysis. They're part of rotopass.com. Thrilled to have it. I said this to Evan Silva about his matchups column. I will say this about Rich Rebar and his worksheet. I think your worksheet is one of the iconic, truly great columns in fantasy football history, Rich. So it's great to have you here on the show. Also, Kyle Dvorak. Kyle, did I say your name right?
You did. It's almost shocking for someone to go one of one on their first try on my name. That is absolutely correct.
You'll be Kyle D from here on out. I'm gonna just retire that.
But, Alberto, Kyle D, you know, the greats.
And Roto World. Rich, what are you? Any memories of your time? When were you at Roto World? You know, and I mean, I remember discovering you at Roto World and reading the worksheet every week. When were you at Roto World from?
Oh, let's see. So Roto World was my first full-time job in the industry, you know, at NBC. Ed and Brett hired me. I want to say it was 2016, 2017, I believe. You know, it was a long journey here. Jobs like this didn't exist that you had, Matthew, but you were the only one when I was, exiting school and, stepping into the real world, so to speak.
That's
so.
A very nice way of saying I'm old. I appreciate that. That's the nicest way of saying I'm old and dirty. I appreciate that.
Yeah, how do we get to do what Matthew does? How do I get one of those jobs? And it took till I was 35.
And you were at Roto World how long until you left to go work with Warren?
I want to say almost 4 years, 3 years, I believe. And then, Warren came in the great summer of me and Evan and Ray all left all at once, unfortunately, in like a span of like almost like 3 weeks. It was great. I love it. I always keep the bridges open, the lines of communication open up to all the guys. They're like my family, man. I always, anytime they reach out and need me to help out, I'm always in to come to the Roto World. I wish I'd come to the studio with you guys.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're welcome to come. We love our Roto World alumni. We're bringing it back. We're bringing Roto World back. I've said this to a lot of the guests over the course of the show. We're bringing it back. And, this is not the only time we will do this. We will continue. We really want to embrace our alumni. We think it's an impressive. I think it's something really impressive. The amount of talent that has come through Roto World is sort of mind-boggling, honestly. When you think about guys like you or Evan Silva or Adam Levitan, right, or Josh Norris, right, or Greg Rosenthal, right. I mean, it's just on and on and on. Kay Adams, who's coming up, Graham Barfield, right? I mean, like the list just keeps going on and on and on. It was amazing. Like we literally had to narrow down the list because we also have a bunch of great analysts here at Roto World, like Kyle, like Pat, like Denny, like Lawrence, and of course Kyle. Kyle, how do you feel about your draft so far? Do you hate your team as much as we hate ours? Because we hate our team.
So we are, coordinating the draft in a Slack channel, and I took the running backs who were getting the most touches.
Slack channel?
Yeah, we don't have
a Slack channel.
There is a secret Slack channel. Actually, Pat just took two picks I wanted, so now I feel upset about it. I was made fun of. I was ridiculed for taking David Montgomery and Josh Jacobs, and I get it. I don't want to be the guy taking them. But it's not it's not like I was taking them where they were going. Oh, I don't know, in July, like you guys are all smart. We have all sort of found a resting point on where they should go. And my team, they were my first running backs. I needed to find some guys with touches. I couldn't wait 5 weeks to get Tony Pollard, going in after Zeke in week 9 or whatever. That wasn't going to work out for my team. So I was made fun of for taking these boomer picks. And I in fact, feel great about my team.
Honestly, Kyle, I will tell you this, and I think that's an important point, and I think that's kind of the point that Josh was making as well, slightly different way, which is like, again,
yes.
No one likes – you don't like David Montgomery. You definitely don't like Josh Jacobs. But at some point, every player has value. And to your point, like, especially with Khalil Herbert's injury, like, Dave Montgomery, like, literally might have 20 touches a game, at least to start the season. And so every player has value. It's just a matter of what it costs to acquire that player. And both those guys slid far enough in the draft where it made sense for your team. And so I think too often fantasy drafters sort of like hold up their nose and like I'm out on Josh Jacobs, period. I want no part of that because he's going to be part of a committee. He's not going to get the passing down work that he got last year. Josh McDaniels is going to use multiple, which great. Asked and answered, of course. You don't take him as a top 15 running back. You don't take him as a top 20 running back. But there comes a point where it's just like he's going to have value and return value at his ADP.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I don't like – I'm not excited to be the guy taking Josh Jacobs. I don't think his outlook is great. But I think his outlook at the price I got him at, especially for my team construction, which just needed some like baseline points at running back. I had taken like six straight non-running backs to start the draft because it's PPR and a bunch of flex spots. So just throw all the wide receivers in. But like I needed some points and they were falling very far. And I still like Dave Montgomery's still the starter, right? It's an ugly team, a bad line, but they're going to give him a lot of touches. And that's really what my team needed is some points.
Yeah, I think everyone's always looking for like the next Jonathan Taylor, but sometimes you need to look for, and this is a high-end version, but like Najee Harris last year wasn't efficient. He was on a mediocre offense, bad quarterback, bad line, but just accumulates touches. And I think that definitely David Montgomery has that upside.
Listen, we're at a bar. No. You know, we're at a bar here, and I'll just say like, yeah, everyone goes in the bar hoping they're going to meet like a model, you know, a male model, female model.
Dangerous already.
No, I mean, you're hoping to meet somebody that's better looking than you, whatever level you're at.
Yes.
But as closing time comes closer and closer and closer, you start adjusting your rankings.
Yes. David Montgomery looks better.
Take a good look at me. Like literally no one ever talked to me at a bar until it was like 1:30. You know what I mean? Like, I was a closing time special. I was just like, all right, you know what? I'm drunk. You'll do. That's me. You know, let's be clear. So back when I was a single man, of course. Look, Rich, there's no way to follow that. Rich, are there any guys that we were talking about this with Adam, or, you know, we always try to talk about sort of preseason buzz. Any guys that you feel like you're really high on or lower on than you were when the – sort of the game started based on sort of news that you're hearing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, one of the guys that I've been kind of having trouble with is Travis Kelce this year, just given, you know, him being 33 years old. He's the oldest top 15 pick since Randy Moss in 2010. But given to what we've seen, everyone kind of was wondering what was going to happen with the Chiefs when they moved on from Tyreek Hill. How are they going to try to recalibrate this offense? And I think one of the biggest early tells, you know, this preseason is that they're going to be a team that's going to lean on putting Travis Kelce in the most advantageous spots now in this offense. They've completely reduced with Patrick Mahomes on the field. Now, granted, it's a small preseason sample here, but they've gone three wide receivers, just 55% of Patrick Mahomes' snaps. It was 66% the last 3 years with the Chiefs. And Travis Kelce, if you go back to last year, he was a guy that, you know, was you don't want to say he didn't have a down year, but teams were finding ways to combat Travis Kelce a little more than he had over the course of his career. And now they're going to get him into these two tight end sets. And if you look at when he's been in heavier sets, his yards per route run go up, his targets per route go up, all his efficiency skyrockets because he's going to be running routes against linebackers now. And that makes a lot of inherent sense because the guys that they've replaced Tyreek Hill with all kind of have question marks. We want Juju to regain his early career kind of output. We still are 4 years in the Mecole Hardman experiment. We don't really know what's going on there. MVS, to this point, he just came from playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback and couldn't earn targets outside of, you know, moonshots. And, you know, we don't know if Sky Moore, how much reps he's going to earn as a rookie as well. So it makes inherent sense that they're trying to recalibrate and put Travis Kelce, who's their best offensive player, in, you know, better situations. That's what Andy Reid's one of the rational coaches. So seeing them and how they've kind of operated with Patrick Mahomes and the first team offense this preseason makes me feel a little bit stronger about Kelce. Maybe on one more magic ride with positional leverage here, you know, at the close of his career.
Yeah, no, I like it. Rich, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing because I just drafted Logan Thomas because they all make fun of me for, you know, again, we've completely screwed the pooch on our draft. So 6 ways till Sunday. So now we're just making ourselves laugh. We're those guys. Go ahead. What does it say? Oh, it just says say goodbye to them. Yes. Sorry. I apologize. Really good analysis there, Rich. Appreciate that. real quickly on this, because you and I were having, you and I were DMing about this. You and I are in a league together, Rich, the famed DFB Dynasty League, and we were talking about sort of three buzzy preseason guys in Ravens tight end Isaiah Likely, Isaiah Pacheco, the running back for the Chiefs, and Romeo Doubs, the Packers wide receiver. And so I asked your opinion on that. Where would you rank those guys for Dynasty and for this year real quickly? Then I want Kyle's opinion, and then we got to – unfortunately, we move on. I'm being told.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. The market value is just completely in lockstep with Pacheco right now. I mean, I've already traded him in Dynasty Leagues. He was a guy I took just like some fourth-round shots on, and I've already upsold him for future seconds. I even dropped in the chat. I traded him in a package for Nick Chubb, you know, with Elijah Mitchell, and got a future pick coming back. So the market, and people are paying for Pacheco. I mean, people, we saw this with CEH a couple years ago when Jonathan Taylor was literally the best running back prospect since Adrian Peterson, and somehow he was going 102 in rookie drafts because of the stigma, the offensive attachment that we were getting. Oh, I think I'm on the clock here, actually. Okay. I don't know exactly.
Kyle, while Rich is figuring out who he's going to pick, where are you on the – I think Pacheco is kind of a really interesting guy. Isaiah Likely, I think, is more interesting in Dynasty Leagues, tight end premium leagues, that kind of thing. Although there are reports that he's going to be the number three in targets there behind Andrews and Bateman. Where are you on Isaiah Pacheco and Romeo Doubs?
Yeah, I think Rich has the right read on Pacheco. I didn't think he was a particularly impressive prospect coming out of college. The reports are that he's been a good pass catcher in camp, but that's not what he profiled at Rutgers. So he's the ideal. Like, it is apparently a seller's market for Pacheco. If you can find a way to get off of him, that's what I would do. Not because I don't think he's like rightfully going to be the team's second running back. I just thought he was a pretty weak prospect. So I would be trying to move on from him in like all formats.
I sort of feel like it's a three-headed monster on a pass-first team.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
You know what I mean? Like, I think Jerick McKinnon's going to be more involved than people think. And see, you know, anyway, so I think it's a three-headed monster. I agree. Rich Rebar, we will follow you on Twitter at Lord Reeves, and we will check out all your fantasy analysis at sharpfootballanalysis.com, which, by the way, you can also get if you have a RotoPass subscription. Buy a RotoPass subscription, you get six great sites, including Rich Rebar's stuff, which is great over on Sharp. And Kyle Dvorak is at rotoworld.com, fantasysportsedge.com. He does our DFS stuff for us. Lots of rankings, lots of great stuff. Kyle, appreciate having you on the show as well.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, man.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, it's our last group here. Pat Crane, of course, is part of the RotoWorld family here. And there's Graham Barfield. Graham Barfield not actually in the bathroom. His wife is allowing him. Graham Barfield from fantasypoints.com, former RotoWorld alumnus right here. I was on a podcast, and they'd had Graham on the week before.
Yeah.
And Graham had to do the podcast from the bathroom because his wife was doing a wine Zoom with her friend. That's a true story, right, Graham?
No, it's a true story. Sadly, it doesn't reflect well on your boy. But no, yeah, the audio quality turned out great in the bathroom. I will say,
actually a thing. It's much better in the bathroom. I had to do. Yeah. I went on Detroit radio once to talk about like the Michigan Wolverines in my walk-in closet because the kids were just being violently loud. And it was the best audio I've ever had. So bathroom, closet.
Right. And I'd be fine with that if that had been why he got sent there.
Yeah.
But no, it was during the pandemic. and his wife was having a happy hour Zoom wine call with his friends. And here's Graham, who was just launching fantasypoints.com. Congratulations on all the success there. You and John Hansen and my buddy Scott Barrett, you guys have done a great job. Joe Dolan's over there as well. It's a great team over there at fantasypoints.com. And so he's launching this. He's like doing some publicity. Like, he's trying to make a go of this. He'd left NFL Network. And so, and the wife, instead of saying like, hey, honey, you can have the living room, I'll just delay the Zoom a half hour. She's like, no, go to the bathroom. Poor Graham is stuck in the bathroom while his wife is getting, you know, hammered with her friends on a Zoom. It's unbelievable. So anyway, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Barfield, for allowing Graham out of the bathroom to do the Roto-World reunion mock draft.
Hey, listen, Matt, we've upgraded. We got an office now. We got a whole setup with bookshelves in here. So you know, it's looking up for me.
All right, there you go. Fantasy points is going well. Pat Crane, how do you like your team so far, brother?
Well, I like it. Yeah, I just finished it up. Really, just got in the 16th round pick, and I kind of went with like an anchor running back build with DeAndre Swift, and cranked through a lot of rookie wide receivers. Trying to find breakouts, mixing in running backs with an elite quarterback, elite tight end. So,
is there one pick that you like particularly? Like, talk to me about those rookie wide receivers. Is there one that you really targeted that you really wanted there?
I did like getting Sky Moore at the 7-8 turn. I was hoping to get Garrett Wilson at the 9-10, but Kyle sniped him from me there. And then, yeah, I liked being able to get Christian Watson and David Bell super late. Watson, obviously, dealing with the knee, so we haven't seen anything from him. But you do feel like he's got some real ceiling if he can get on the field there with Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, anytime you can get Jacoby Brissett's fourth option, you got to do it late in the draft. I think that's a smart move there. I like Bell from a talent. Like, it's whatever. It's 12-team league, 16th round. Like, there's no such thing as a bad pick other than what we've done. Like, honestly, we've I don't know if you've seen what the disaster that our draft is.
I like the Sky Moore pick because I think talking about a lot of these rookie wide receivers, look at the upside is going to be attached to the passing situation. And if Sky Moore or Romeo Doubs, if either of those guys pop, and they've got Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers throwing them the ball, George Pickens is inextricably tied to Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett. Drake London has Marcus Mariota. Like, there is a certain ceiling with Sky Moore and Doubs that is unlocked by their quarterbacks. So, yeah, I think those guys are worth a flyer.
100%. Graham, when did you work from Roto-World? What time were you working from Roto-World? Do you any memories you have of your time here? Talk to me a little bit about your time at Roto-World, because one of the big things we want to do is we want to embrace our alumni. I've said this throughout this show, is it's like we think it's just an unbelievable roster of talent that have come through the doors at Roto-World, and you were certainly part of that. You do great work. You've done it at Fantasy Points and NFL and certainly here at Roto-World.
Hey, well, I really appreciate the kind words. I remember it well. I remember the day Evan Silva followed me and hit me up, and he was like, hey, man, you know, I just love your stuff. Like, do you want to come write, like, a couple pieces for us? And the first article I wrote was a piece on, like, fantasy efficiency, and I'm sure it was terrible. You could go look in the ethers of Roto-World and the CMS and stuff, but I'm sure it was not very good. But, yeah, I remember it well. That was way back in the day, 2015, I want to say. Okay. Yeah, 2014, 2015, somewhere back in the day, and I was a real young buck.
Yeah, and I believe you did projections for Roto-World back in the day as well. Is it it's our turn to draft.
Yeah.
Pick whoever you want.
Marlon Mack?
Mo Alley-Cox? I am obsessed with Mo Alley-Cox.
Let's take Mo Alley-Cox.
Right.
What a way to end the draw.
We got Mark Andrews. We're like Mo Alley-Cox and Logan Thomas. Like a lot of – what was your strategy? Three tight ends. Three tight ends in a one tight end, non-tight end premium scoring league. There you go.
With an elite tight end.
Turn into Peacock for my analysis. The great thing is that we're not actually airing this thing. Because I did our draft so horribly wrong. This is not actually, it was just a good hangout. It was like, Graham, it was like your wives' Zoom call with our with the wine.
Yeah, we did that. We would have been.
Unfortunately, we weren't able to get Kay Adams on. Kay drafted with us, but she wasn't feeling well, so we weren't able to get her on. But Kay, of course, was on-air talent and host for Roto-World, did a great job. She then went on to NFL Network, Good Morning Football, and we're all anxiously awaiting her next stop, I believe.
Yep.
That hasn't been announced yet, but I'm sure she'll have something awesome very, very soon. Graham, you like your team?
I started with three straight running backs, which I don't usually do, but I got Eckler, Mixon, and Javonte Williams, all three guys who can catch passes, and then just unloaded on receivers. I know Pat said he was a big fan of his pick of Sky Moore. I was not, for what it's worth. I wish I had gotten him because I should have drafted him. That's one of the guys I wanted on my team because I needed some upside. But settle for Chris Olave, Alec Pierce, rookies late round, just give you some upside. But
I like both those guys. I like both those guys. My concern on Sky Moore is just when was the last time a third pass catcher had fantasy value in Kansas City? But, like, I mean, again, like, if you go through the game logs, like, I mean, like, there'd be a big Byron Pringle game, and then there'd be a big DeMarcus Robinson game, and, you know, once a year, Sammy Watkins would pop up from the dead and, like, and have a huge game. But it just feels like the Andy Reid system, and, again, I get it. They don't have a Tyreek. They don't have a guy that they have to feed. Right. But I sort of feel like it's going to be Kelce and Juju, and I desperately hope it is because Juju is our number one wide receiver. We went running back, and tight end. We got Andrews at third, and so we were sort of chasing wide receivers throughout the draft. Luckily, we got auto drafted Jacoby Myers, so we should be good.
Oh yeah,
I think the first time also is that he has. It's not impossible that he could be the second pass catcher by the end of the season. Just
Juju
Smith-Schuster is not Davante Adams.
And you mentioned the system.
100%, but my fear on Sky Moore is that he's a better dynasty pick than redraft pick
for sure.
because there'll be some Mecole Hardman games, there'll be some MVS games, there'll be, you know, like it just, like, you know, just for consistent fantasy, like, it's not that Sky Moore won't have good fantasy games, it's just, will you know when to start Sky Moore? It's always the question in season-long redraft leagues. Pat, I don't know what your thoughts are there. I mean, feel free to argue with me. I think that's
very fair. Yeah, I think the play with Sky Moore, I think, is that you're probably going to be waiting a little bit and seeing if he's getting, you know, more and more routes and kind of working his way not just up the depth chart but kind of up the target pecking order. The thing I like about him, you mentioned the Andy Reid system, he feels like a really good fit to me because he was great after the catch in college, but he was great after the catch on intermediate routes. So, you know, kind of over the middle stuff. He's not like a gadget guy racking up yak. He was actually racking up yak in a way that I think will really fit kind of the Andy Reid system. And if Juju's not a Tyreek target share type of guy, maybe he's, you know, he could be more like 20% instead of 30%. And now there's room for Sky Moore to kind of eat in. And hopefully over the course of the end of the season where, you know, you're entering the fantasy playoffs, you now have a guy you are confident starting week to week.
I think that's totally fair, especially because to your point, like he doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good enough that Patrick Mahomes trusts him, right? I mean, because like I mean, again, that scheme and that quarterback can make a lot of so-so talent pretty special, right? And so if Sky Moore is anywhere close to decent, and Mahomes and Reed like him, pun intended, sky's the limit. There you go. It is a tough one to end on. But I mean, again, we auto drafted Jacoby Myers. Like our whole whatever. My whole team is crap. It's awful. I highly recommend, if I can give one piece of advice to the people watching at home, never ever host a Zoom call and try to do a draft at the same time, especially with a co-host on a platform that you've never really drafted on before. So, if that's one piece of advice I can give. But I had a good run. My career is over. It's fine. I had a good run. It was all happy. I'm being told to say goodbye, that it's a wrap. I think it just means for me, you guys will probably be hosting Fantasy Football Happy Hour tomorrow. But on the off chance that we haven't been fired, I would like to plug Fantasy Football Happy Hour, available on Peacock, on the new NFL on NBC YouTube channel. Oh, did you get rid of the guys? I was going to say goodbye to them. Oh, there we go. Okay, let me say goodbye to them for the love of Pete. You guys, sorry, I'm yelling at my producer. It's very rude. Anyway, Fantasy Football Happy Hour at Peacock TV, NFL on NBC YouTube channel, and wherever you get your podcast. So please check it out. Once again, it'll be live at noon tomorrow and then available on demand on all those platforms. Graham Barfield, I know we can check you out on Twitter at Graham Barfield and at fantasypoints.com. Is there anything specific you'd like to plug?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Fantasypoints.com, getting the projections updated every day, getting cheat sheets going. It's draft season, guys. It's the best time of the year.
It is the best time of the year. And once again, congratulations on making it out of the bathroom and into an office. Things must be going well at Fantasy Point for you to afford.
They're going well enough, Barry. They're going well enough.
Fair enough. Got it. I understand. Every day's a struggle. I hear you. It's all good. We're you know, you're day to day. We're all day to day. And listen, Pat Crane, you do the weekly walkthrough, the game by game preview for RotoWorld. Just a beast of a column there. So we will check you out. I feel like, I apologize, I don't have your Twitter handle memorized. I feel like there's an underscore in there. Do I have that right?
Just at Pat Crane.
At Pat Crane. All right. Have you thought about an underscore? Would you like an underscore?
Do you need an underscore?
I can try it out.
Think about Crane is spelled K-E-R-R-A-N-E for that. This has been a disaster of a show.
Yeah.
And I would like to thank Fox,
no underscore.
Right. Yeah. Auto-drafted Jacoby Myers. I got everyone's a thing wrong. But Graham Barfield, Pat Crane, I want to thank both of you, along with Greg Rosenthal, Pat Doherty, Adam Levitan, Denny Carter, Josh Norris, Rich Rebar, and you, Jay Croucher, and Kay Adams, and Evan Silva, and Lawrence Jackson. I think I got everyone. And Kyle Dvorak, sorry, for joining us here on the RotoWorld Reunion Mock Draft Show. If you have somehow watched all this, well, I don't know what's wrong with you. But you certainly, good luck to you. God bless. And so thank you, Graham. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, everyone. No one's actually watching now. Yeah. You think?
Let's end it.
All right. God bless.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.